In 1986, March of 1986, and I got revived while I was there and got refired and filled with the Holy Spirit, came back to Scranton, and the whole theme of that pastor's school was on soul winning. And I noticed that as we turn over to this new year, God has given me a new vision, a renewed vision, I should say, because you can't improve on what we had. It's just the same stuff. And God has got me back on that, and I'm locked into that, and the messages have been going along that line. About every year, I preach a message that I did preach for the first time after I came back in 1986, and I want to go back to that tonight. And so I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, and I remember going out soul winning. And people would, you know, attack the soul winning ministry. They would say that, you know, you're going out soul winning and you're talking to people. And look at how many people, they don't last. They don't follow through. They say they're saved, but you don't see them at church. Or if you do see them, they get baptized and you don't see them again. And this is just a bunch of shallowness. This is just a bunch of you know, baloney, really, that this is not what we should be doing. And I remember getting stirred up when I read Matthew chapter 13, and I believe this is an explanation of what happens when you become a soul winner. And the name of the message is, and you've heard it here, it's called Perils of Productive Soul Winning. Amen? Perils of Productive Soul Winning. And it's here in Matthew chapter 13. And so Jesus is at a seaside here, and the multitude are on the shore, and he gets into a ship and sat down, and they're on the shore, and he's going to speak to them this message about the perils of productive sowing. And I'd like you to look at verse 3 of Matthew 13. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables. Behold," he's saying, "behold, a sower went forth to sow." And so that is the first thing that we see about the Christian life, because this is a parable that describes a Christian. And this is what a Christian is. This is a picture, if you're a born-again Christian, of what you are. You should be going forth to sow. When you leave these doors on Sunday night, you should think about the whole week ahead of you that you are going to sow. And you say, "Well, Pastor, what am I going to sow?" You're going to sow the gospel seed. You're going to sow into the hearts of people the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I heard about a hyper-dispensationalist, and he was talking to one of our guys as we were out on bus ministry, and he basically said, well, the gospel in the Old Testament was works plus faith. So it's your works plus faith, and that's how you get saved in the Old Testament. He said, but in the New Testament, since the church began, we get saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And that's the gospel now. He said, but we're going to flip over into the great tribulation period and into the 70th week of Daniel. And then it's going to go back to salvation by works plus faith. And certain books of the Bible are written to that. And it's a big misunderstanding. As I read the Bible and I read the book of Revelation, where during the day of the Lord, an angel of the Lord is going to give the gospel, because we're out of here, we've been raptured, but God still wants to give the gospel. And he goes across the sky and he gives them the everlasting gospel. It's the same gospel in any one of the seven dispensations. And the gospel is God's grace plus nothing, through faith plus nothing, in Christ plus nothing. And that's the good news that we need to get out there. People can distort it. People can misunderstand it. People can claim to believe it and fall away from it. But I say to you tonight, let God be true and every man a liar. God doesn't lie. And we have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his witnesses. Yes, way back in the Garden of Eden, they got the gospel. Adam and Eve got the gospel. And here's what it was. Eve, you messed up. I know you're blaming Adam, but you did it. And Adam, I know you're blaming Eve and God, but you did it. I know, and you can't push it off on the devil or anything else because you sinned. But I got good news for you, God said. That woman that gave to the man, that woman's going to have a baby, and that baby is going to take away the curse and save the world. And they didn't know a whole lot, but they knew that the Messiah was coming. He was going to be born of a woman, and guess what? They believed on that truth. And on that, and they were saved. They were saved. Adam and Eve, thank God for that. And God's been saving people ever since who've heard the good news of God's grace, of God's love for the world, and have believed it and been saved. And now you and I are the custodians of that message. But let me tell you, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from sharing the gospel. And I like it when I think of this parable of a sower going out to sow. I wonder how many of you have heard of Johnny Appleseed. Raise your hand. Johnny Appleseed. Okay. He's a famous figure, and he lived in America in the 1800s, and it's a true story. And his name was Johnny, and his last name was Chapman, Johnny Chapman. He was born in Massachusetts in 1774, September 26. His father fought in the Revolutionary War. His mom died in childbirth in 1776, which a lot of ladies did. When his dad came home from the war, he taught his son John the business of farming. And the legend about Johnny Appleseed is that he just went out with a seed sack of apples and threw them everywhere, and all these apple trees grew all over the country. But that's really not the true story. The true story is that Johnny was very practical. You see, back then, they were promising land for free if you could plant 50 apple trees that actually grew and produced apples. If you could do that, you could get that land free upon which you claimed it, and those 50 apple trees were growing. And so he traveled in Pennsylvania. He went into Ontario, Canada. He went into West Virginia. He went into Ohio. He went into Indiana, Illinois, and he planted and claimed land. Not just planted trees, but he claimed land. Hey, you know what? We need to claim land for God.
Amen.
I have claimed Tunkhannock to Moscow. I've claimed Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. And you and I can claim land for God. But you know what a lot of people do? They go up to Carbondale and they stay there a little while, then they quit. And they go here and there and they quit. I didn't come here to quit. I came to stay. And I've been at it for into my 46th year, but I plan to stay another 46. I don't care. Whatever it takes to get the job done. Amen. And I'm just saying, you say, well, is that biblical, Pastor? What did Jesus say? He said, what? Occupy till I come. And that's what Johnny did. Johnny was not there just to throw seeds and say, oh, this is fun. You know, just throw these seeds. Hope they come up. No, he went and he claimed land, Brother Bob, and he got orchards and got land in Pennsylvania. He got land all over this country, and he got apple trees as well that produced apples. And Johnny Appleseed, I heard that at last hearing, he had a tree that survived. Apple trees don't survive very long, but he had an apple tree that survived. And when I first preached this message, I don't know if it's so now, he had an apple tree still growing in Nova, Ohio, still producing fruit. And the seeds and the cuttings from that tree were used to propagate many, many other trees, apple trees, and fruit. And Johnny did that. He traveled 100,000 square miles doing this, and he acquired a lot of land. He was able to sell a lot of land for profit. You say, well, Pastor, you just claim Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre, and you claim Tunkhannock to Moscow. That's our Jerusalem. But we're not stopping with our Jerusalem. Once we do that, we want to send out other Johnny Appleseeds, amen? And they can claim land and plant churches in our Judea, in our Samaria. And that's what missions is all about. It starts in Jerusalem. But we're training men. That's why we have a college. We're training men, beloved, who will be Johnny Appleseed kind of preachers, who will plant and go and get land for God. You say, Donald Trump's doing a great job. Certain people are doing a great job. Yes, but the greatest job is being done by people like, who is that guy in Mexico City? Kevin Wynn. That's the guy. I mean, I'm talking about those kind of people, beloved. That's what we want to be. We want Kevin Wynn kind of preachers. We want people that will do the job for God and claim the land for God. And we're here to stay. We're not some fly-by-night butterfly going to this church, going to that church, going to this situation, going to that. No, put down roots and stay for God and be a Johnny Appleseed kind of Christian. And he died in 1845, born in 1774, John Chapman. He died in 1845, and he had owned more than, get this, 1,200 acres of land by planting apple trees, and he made, Brother Bob, a lot of money from that land that he had, and he sold some of that land. And so Johnny Appleseed had these apples. And he had the kind of apples you could make apple cider from it, drink the apple cider. And back in the day, instead of coffee and tea and water, they drank a lot of apple cider. I got to drink more water. Mm. Some reason I am so thirsty. But this is from Sarah, right? Sarah got me this one. And boy, it's good. But Johnny Appleseed, you know, they drank cider. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Just regular cider. I'm talking about just fresh apple juice. And you know what that is. That's the wine of the apple. Actually, that's strong drink in the biblical sense. Strong drink is anything other than wine. That's a fruit juice. But wine is a milder thing. It's wine. Fruit juice, grape juice is wine. I went in the refrigerator, and I was telling somebody, I got a little of that communion wine, Brother Joe. And I said, I'm drinking the communion wine. And I was drinking it. And not like the Catholic priest, you know, who drinks the wine that moves in the cup. No, so they drank a lot of cider to keep away from bacteria. And to keep away from sicknesses, because they didn't have a way to boil out the germs and everything. So they would drink a lot of that. And that's what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. In other words, drink some grape juice. Don't drink the water. It's not good there. And that's just a whole other sermon. I don't believe in drinking wine or booze or any of that. I'm again at 100% all kinds of alcoholic beverage. God only has two kind of wine, non-alcoholic and alcoholic. Alcoholic is bad every time, and the other is good. Amen and amen. So Johnny Appleseed, he did a job for the country. He did become a missionary too. He was born again, became a missionary, and I want to be a Johnny Appleseed kind of pastor. And I want to have a lot of fruit trees. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. I remember leading Brother Eddie Brent to the Lord. Brother Eddie's back here. And I remember leading him to the Lord, and Eddie has led other people to the Lord. Mississippi, Scranton, all over. And that's what I want to be. I don't want to just pick fruit. I want to plant fruit trees. And what's a fruit tree? It's somebody that gets saved, and they become a soul winner. There's too many churches, people get saved, and then they're not taught to go soul winning. And they're not trained to go soul winning. And I decided a long time ago, I want to be a Johnny Appleseed kind of pastor. I want to train soul winners. I want to train the members of the church, whether it's a deacon or their wives or people in the church. I want to train them to be soul winners. Because you can reach people I can't reach, amen? And as you're going out there, just like Johnny Appleseed, you have an opportunity to reach people and plant these fruit trees. And there are people that they criticize and they attack these kinds of things. And they say, well, when you do this, you know, this person won't turn out, that person won't turn out, and so on and so forth. Well, I would rather have what happened to Johnny Appleseed. I'm sure all of his trees did not turn out. I'm sure that he had a lot of trees that did not turn out. But Johnny Appleseed had about 750 trees that failed out of every 1,000 trees that he planted. Amen. 750 trees that failed. But I would rather have 250 productive fruit trees than only one tree because I only had three failures, if you get what I mean. I'd rather have that, you see. And so tonight, I preach this message to encourage you that you will have failures. My wife and I have six kids. And we thank God for having six kids. Big family in today's standards, and it's a blessing. We got 15 grandkids. I thank God for that. And I preached it. I said, the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And we're going to do our part. And we did. But you know what? My wife had three miscarriages. I thank God. I believe I'll see those three babies in heaven. I believe that. But she had three miscarriages, and it was tough. It was tough to go through a miscarriage. And I tell you, it's tough sometimes when folks you led to the Lord or you hoped you led to the Lord, and they fail. And it hurts, friends. It hurts. But don't let that stop you. It didn't stop Johnny Appleseed. Because those productive fruit trees will come if you keep growing and going and blowing and sharing with the gospel. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. It says these words, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, that's true of giving your money and a good work for God. And I have found that true. And it's true in sowing the gospel seed. I remember when I first got to Scranton, I got into a wrong-headed thing. I went to the same guy every week and gave him a Bible study on Romans. And I kept trying to get this guy saved. And he kept saying to me, you keep talking about Romans 1 through 3, Romans 1 through 3. When are we going to get into the rest of Rome? I would say, when you get it, when you get saved, you know, you need to see that. And he never got it. But I should have been going around. I wasted so much time just witnessing to that one guy when I should have been going around and giving the gospel. And I encourage you, don't get stuck with one person. Do like Johnny Appleseed. Keep going and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message tonight is persevere through the perils of productive sowing. And I'd like you to go with me down to Matthew 13. Let's go to verse 4. And by the way, in this scripture, Jesus explains the parable right in this chapter. So we'll look at both verse 4 and verse 19. But look at verse 4. There's three perils that you're going to face if you want to be a productive soul winner. And here's the first one in verse number 4. It says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, I hate it when birds get the seed that I've sown. And I sowed some grass seed this year because we always have people in the winter. They go off on my lawn and they tear it up, and then I got to plant new seed. And I was trying to plant seed, and these birds come around and they're trying to take that grass seed away. so it won't grow. And I said, well, what are those birds? You know, if the grass seed is like giving the gospel, you give the gospel to somebody, what is Jesus saying is the bird? And one of the men tell me, what is the bird or birds that right away are going to come, raise your hand if you know, and they're going to steal that seed away if they can?
The world?
Not that one. We've got three enemies. By the way, we have three enemies. The world is one. The flesh, the unregenerate, unsaved flesh is your other enemy. And the third one is the one we're going to get. Luke?
The devil.
The devil. He'll come and he'll steal it away or have one of his helpers. You know, just like Santa has a lot of helpers. The devil has his helpers. And he is going to steal away that seed right out of that person's heart. And you say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, look at verse 19. Jesus interprets himself. He says in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's the gospel of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that is he which receives seed by the wayside. And so the devil is going to come in there and he is going to steal that seed. By the way, here's what the Bible says. When you're going out and you're giving the gospel to people, here's what the Bible says about the devil. It said, in whom the god of this world, small g, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, you've got to see Christ. It's not just enough to pray a prayer, not just enough to go through a ritual. Do you really see Christ? I remember I really saw Christ when my grandma told me about him dying on the cross and the curtain being ripped. I saw my sin. I saw I was on the way to hell. I was scared. But when she told me about Christ, I saw that Christ is the way. And simple faith in Christ was how I got saved, you see. And that is what happens. Now, how did that happen? Satan tried to blind my mind to that. And there are a lot of people that are blinded. I think of Awilda Rodriguez, right? Awilda Rodriguez, your sister-in-law, Marilla. And I think of Awilda, and I remember Brother Bob, we first reached there, and Bob gave her the gospel, but she was brought up in a Pentecostal church, a Spanish Pentecostal church. And that church had a lot of rules and regulations. Like, they had good dress standards, as far as I understand. Women should wear dresses, men wear pants, you know. Good dress standards. There are biblical dress standards that more people should have listened to Christians back then, and we wouldn't be having all the crazy problems we have in America now, where men are dressing as women and women dressing as men. Now they're upset, women are upset, because men are going to, this is the latest thing, I just found this out, men are going to be, they're going to be identifying as a woman and box in women's boxing. So can you see these guys coming in there and breaking these ladies' heads open? But you know what, it's kind of poetic justice, because women shouldn't be boxing anyway.
Amen.
They shouldn't be boxing anyway. But I'm telling you, it's too bad Christians are like the world's puppy dog. They follow the world and they stay 10 feet behind. Listen, women need to dress like women.
Amen.
Long flowing garments, that's what the Bible said. Men need to dress like men.
Amen.
And I haven't changed, and I don't intend to change, and this Bible doesn't change. But now listen to me, that's a biblical standard, we preach it, but that's all Awilda saw. That's all Awilda saw. She said, if I dress right, if I walk right, if I talk right, if I do this right. And Awilda followed it to the T, but there was a veil over her. And it was trying to be a good girl and get to heaven by the works of the law. She never saw the grace of God. She never saw Jesus Christ. And she never tasted the grace of God. It was all works. And that won't change your life, beloved. That won't warm your heart to God. And I remember Brother Bob talked to her, and then I remember I was talking to her on the phone, and she said this to me, and I'll never forget it. I was giving her the gospel on the phone because I was being a Johnny Appleseed too. I was getting that gospel out wherever I could get it out, and I was talking to Wilda on the phone. And she said, "Pastor, it was like a veil was ripped from my eyes, and I saw Jesus Christ." Like when Moses held up the brazen serpent. And anybody that was bit by the snake and dying could look and get that. And so I'm just saying to you tonight that when you give the gospel, you've got the devil trying to blind people to the gospel. Even as you're giving them the truth, he is fighting. You say, well, how can we win against the devil? Well, he is the unholy spirit and he's powerful, but we have the Holy Spirit who is all powerful. And he will help you, and he will empower your witness for Jesus Christ. And so you just keep on going with the gospel. And sometimes you'll go back to a person, and you'll go back to a person, and you'll ask that person, you know, hey, if you were to die, you've given them the gospel, they pray to receive Christ, and you say, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you get into heaven? And then you say, and if you died and stood before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And they say, oh, I've been a good person. I've done good things. And you say, what do? I give them the gospel again. You know, here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed what? In vain. Is it possible a person believes in vain?
Right.
Yes, because they just have an assent mentally to what you said, but it's only temporary many times. It goes away unless they're really taught it over. It just goes away. And so they don't get it. But if they really get saved, then the Holy Spirit, you say, well, what, do I have to change the gospel to really get them saved? No, it's the same gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We don't change the gospel. It's the power of God. But listen, you're going to have people that will believe it temporarily in their head, but they won't retain it because they're not really saved by it, born again by it. And the devil has blinded them to the gospel. And you need not to let that stop you from continuing to give the gospel. I even do it to people that received it. If they keep coming to church, I used to ask a lady that. I asked her that for about 5 years. I kept asking her a second question. She'd get it wrong every time. Every time she got it wrong. I kept giving her the gospel. One day she got it right. And then again she got it right. And then I noticed she kept coming to church. God was working in her life. That lady's still coming to our church to this day. It's Miss Angela. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it was a lady that comes to our church, and she's still coming. So persevere through the perils of productive sowing. What are those perils? The devil blinding people's mind to the gospel. Secondly, not only that, but that's by the birds. But another one is in chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. Go down to verse, 5 and 6. Let's go to 5 and 6. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root that withered away. Now, we're going to find out what Jesus said about this. But I want to check one of the men, see if they know. What enemy is this? We talked about the devil. Now we have another enemy that makes the gospel fail. All right, brother, let's try it.
The flesh?
That is the flesh. There are people that get emotionally all excited. How many have given the gospel to somebody, just maybe they had tears and they're just, oh, this is so great. Raise your hand if you ever had that happen. And then raise your hand if it never came to anything. If some people never came to anything. Yeah. That's here. That's what this is. Now, some people get discouraged with that. Say, I guess I'm a failure. No, you didn't fail.
That's right.
The gospel didn't fail.
Right.
No, these are enemies that Jesus warned us of, that the hardness of heart is amazing. Now, let me give you an example of this. A young man that he was just a great young man. And he got saved, quote unquote. I don't believe he really did. But emotionally, he was into it. He was into church. He was into everything. He was into everything around here. And for a while, a good while. But there came a time when the world started hitting him and his heart got hard. His heart got hard. And I went with Brother Zukowski because I said, you know, I want to go to him, Matthew 18, and try to turn him back. But I said, do not be surprised if you see a hard heart. And we went there to talk to him. And you remember that. And you were amazed at how disrespectful and how hard the heart was to a guy that was so soft. To me, your heart can be so hard. The human heart can be so hard. You know, the same sun that melts wax hardens concrete. And that gospel can be preached, but if it's an unsaved heart, that heart really gets harder to the things of God. Even if they're socially nice to you, the heart, the Bible says, is hard. And I have seen folks get put on church discipline, and I've seen them come back and get right with God. Why is that? Because they have a new heart. And God worked in their heart. But I've seen other folks go on church discipline and not come back. And then they're finally just voted out of the church. And that's a very bad situation to be in. Because when it comes to that, then that heart becomes very hard to the things of God. And God warned us. He said, listen, there will be folks that initially they'll have this great, you know, great attitude and this great response, but it's an emotional thing. It's only as deep as their emotions. They don't have a new heart. They didn't ever get a new nature. I hope that's nobody in here tonight. I remember one man, he came to our church, he made a profession, and he was here for a whole year, and I was preaching. He said, when you were up there preaching, I thought, that's the devil. The devil's preaching through that man, because his heart was hard. But thank God, God took mercy on him. And Brother Joe asked him the two questions, and he was convicted. Then he went out soul winning with me after a Sunday night, and I went down to the square in Scranton. And while I was leading a guy to pray to receive Christ, he prayed. And he got it. How do I know? Because he's got a new nature. He's got a new heart. By their fruit ye shall what? Know them. And thank God for that. And so you say, well, how do I know this? And here's the picture here. The seed is planted on a little bit of shallow soil, and then under it is rock. And it tries to go down and dig roots down into the rock, and it can't. And that's because it doesn't have a new nature. And just to show you that Jesus meant that when he said it, go to verse 20, because Jesus explains it, what he meant by that seed. And in verse 20, he said in there, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiving it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, he is offended. And that's exactly what happened. There are a lot of people, listen to me tonight, that profess to be saved. And they're in churches. But when the rapture comes, they're not going up. Maybe in your own family. When the rapture comes, not going up. That's why in the former Soviet Union, there were people that went in there, and they were Russian communists, and they went in with machine guns, and they bashed through the door of a church. And they said, okay, we're here, we're communists, this is an illegal gathering, and we want everybody that you're going to go with Jesus Christ and this false faith, you line up against the wall, put your hands in the air. He said, the rest of you can go out. And a bunch of people started going out, walking right out that door. And the ones that lined up with their hands up, the guys threw down their guns and hugged them. They said, "Oh, thank you, my brothers. We wanted to just find out who our brothers in Christ were before we fellowshiped with you guys here." They were soldiers, and they wanted to find out who the brothers in Christ were. Persecution. Difficulty. A lady used to be in this church. She would say, "I know those that are meant for this church." She said, "Because every time somebody joins Scranton Revival Baptist Church, they're tested to see if they'll stay." And what is it that tests them? It may be a family member. It may be a problem that they have in their life. And if they quit, you see, they're giving up. Now, I've had a lot of people quit and come back. Amen? I've had a lot of people fall and get back up. Thank God, because that's how saving faith works. That's how the new nature works. We may fall because of the old nature, but thank God we have two natures. It's when you just keep feeding that old nature and feeding it, that makes you wonder, do you have a new nature? And so that's what Jesus is talking about. And he said, don't get discouraged when you see this, beloved. Keep on going and God will bless you. All right, we're going to come to the third peril. And here it is in verse 7. Let's go down to verse 7. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up. Some of the seed among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But that was not a good thing, right? How many of you have had a garden grow or something grow, and it just had thorns and weeds and everything just come in and seem to take it over? How many have experienced that? Yeah, we're living in a cursed world. Amen. Now, we've talked about the enemies. The third enemy that this represents is what's called the world. You got the devil, the flesh, and now the world. And if somebody is born again, through your giving the gospel, they're going to overcome what? They're going to overcome what?
The world.
The world. You see, the world is an enemy that's all around us. And it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Now, does that mean you'll never fall into sin? No. But it means that you'll overcome it. And you'll stay with God. And you'll get right with God when you sin. And you'll confess your sin. And you'll say, "Lord, cleanse me. I'm dirty. I want to get clean from that." Why do you feel that way? Because you've been saved through the gospel. And so you will overcome the world. But if you are overcome by the world, that is not a good thing. And you'll go back into the world and live in the world. I've known people. I remember talking to a guy down in Florida. He was living like the devil. He'd been living like the devil for years. And he was a guy I was working with. And I said, the spiritual question, if you were to die, and where would you go? And all that. He said, "Oh, I'm saved. I got saved when I was 12 years old." And he knew the gospel. That's a Bible belt down there in the South. He knew the gospel. But he lived like the devil. And he was in the world. And he was of the world. He wasn't saved.
Right.
Now, you say, "Well, where is that in the Bible?" Well, Jesus is teaching about it right here. But here's what it says in 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, I might say the head knowledge, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. How could the latter end be worse than the beginning if they're just a carnal Christian? They're still better off than going to hell. But no, they're not going to heaven.
Right.
They're going to hell. And hell is going to be worse.
Right.
That's the hottest place in hell. You know there are different degrees of hell, if you can imagine. I don't want any of it. But he says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's the gospel. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Boy, that is not a good place to be in. You know what? You better watch out for that carnal crowd out there.
Yeah. Amen.
I watch out for that parachurch crowd out there. Yeah, there's a lot of these. I'm not a charismatic. Can I say that tonight?
Good.
I'm not a charismatic. I'm not seeking the signs of the apostles. I'm seeking the substance of the apostles. They left behind. You know what the substance is? This Bible right here. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, proof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That's complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. Now I'm going to give you a warning. And I'm not saying this is true, by the way, of every charismatic Christian. I'm not saying that by any measure, but a lot of people it's true of, and it's a warning about a movement. Jesus said this: not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. And then the Lord goes on, and listen, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. He goes on to warn. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works or miracles? Matthew 7:22. And here's the Lord's response. He said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I remember our former pastor, he used to say, there are many people, and not just among Catholic, or not just among Catholic charismatics or other, there are many people, even Baptists, that are after, they're after the manifestations, but they really don't want the Messiah and to know the Lord and to walk with the Lord. And that's what happens when a person gets saved. He leaves the world, and there are two parts of the world here. There are two things in the world that can take you away. Number one, the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world will take you away from God. Just fun, leisure, fun. I don't have time for soul winning. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for the Bible. I've got so many things going on. And this thing right here can be the pleasures of the world. Football. How are the Eagles doing, Brother Bob? All these things, they can catch us up and get to us. And by the way, I'm not against football. I know the Giants were playing the Eagles. I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I'm not going to be a hypocrite up here. I know what's going on. But I'm just saying to you, does it overcome you? Does it overcome us and distract us from being wholehearted for God? And it's no good if it does. And that is what happens to certain people. They come in and they profess faith for a time, and then the pleasures of the world just gradually, they leave the church and they leave the Word of God and they leave the work of God, and they don't love it anymore. They love the world. What really excites them is the world. And then sometimes it's just problems. Oh, I'll go to church, I'll serve God when I solve my problems, but I got too many problems, you know, this is going on, that. Hey, since when don't we have problems?
Right.
I was trying to get up my driveway today. I tried shovel, trying to get it. My car is not running right, so I got to get it in. So my wife's car, I said, well, use your car, but her car is not good on snow like mine. I mean, it's decent, but it's not good. And so I was trying to get up that, and I kept going up, and I thought if my wife drove and I pushed, that'd be great, but she'd drive us off into a snow drain. She's not good in snow. I had no choice. I said, honey, you got to get out and push. We're just about there, but we got to get. And she jumped out, and she gave that little push, and we made it. We made it. We got there. We made it. What is this squawking of the lowing of the sheep and the oxen that I hear? I got somebody trying to call me, I guess, for counsel. Let me turn this off. right now. Boom. I should have. I owe the pastor a pizza tonight. I'm in big trouble. Where was I? Amen. Amen, brother. But my wife, she pushed us up and we just made it. But you know what? That's where we live our lives. We live our lives constantly overcoming problems. So we can serve God. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I could go down to Florida, Brother Steve. I could be down there. But I noticed you guys wanted to come back. You were like speeding to get back. You were going to? No? All right. But I'm just saying, man, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I want to be in a real church where there's commitment and they're serving God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And if you keep going and sowing the gospel into people's hearts, you will come up with the last one. And let me finish because I'm coming to the end here. Here it is. The last one is persevere until you get to the good stuff. Amen? Persevere till you get to the good stuff. And let's look at that in verse number, I believe it's 23. Let's go back there and see if we got to the good stuff. Yeah, we got to the good stuff. Here's what it says. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Not just understands it for a moment, also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You know what's interesting? When I was in conviction of sin and I was afraid of going to hell and hadn't heard the gospel and really seen it yet, I prayed to God. I said, God, make me that good soil. Because I read this. I said, God, make me that good soil. And then he gave me my grandmother who gave me the gospel and I saw it. And that's what made me the good soil, amen, to get saved when a person sees it. So you will find the good soil if you keep going. The Bible says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, what? Eternal glory. I don't give the gospel hoping I'll find good soil. I know I'll find good soil. God promises it. He says, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you, speaking of us, that you should what? Go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. People are out there that are going to get saved. But you've got to go and give the gospel to every creature. And you will experience the devil taking seed from you. You will experience hard hearts that at first seem to be so joyous to hear. You will experience people that come, they may get baptized, but then the world will grow and take over their lives and you won't see them again. They'll be out there having fun in the world or having fun with a bunch of worldly Christians that are in love with the world, not really committed to serve God. But if you keep going, you'll see the fruit. Keep going. Keep sharing. And you won't regret it. Some will be 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There are different levels of believers. And I can tell, this is a little extra. This is thrown in at the end extra. I can usually tell a preacher, somebody that has preacher grace, long before they may even know it. Because God gives preachers usually special grace. And you can see it in their lives. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about the perils of